No, but we've been going through this series, and we're in part number 10, and we've pretty much been going chapter by chapter. I mean, skipping a little bit, or section by section, I guess, would be more accurate. But Romans, it's one of my favorite books. So if you guys have missed any of the weeks, if you've been gone or whatever, I would encourage you, check it out on YouTube, Facebook, our website, because there is a lot of depth and a lot of power in this book right here. Romans, this book was written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Rome. And if you don't know, Rome is basically the opposite of Las Vegas. Las Vegas, the motto is, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, right? Which, not true, by the way, does not happen that way. But Rome was the opposite. What happens in Rome goes to the rest of the world, right? Paul, he wrote this letter discussing a lot of like deeper theological effects from the life of Jesus, and he shows us what's possible because of Jesus' sacrifice. This letter, it's gone all over the world, and you know, it's full of a lot of doctrine, there's a lot of depth to it, and it's easy to kind of look at and be like, okay, well, great, what now? What do I do with that? So in this series, we've been going through and figuring out, you know, what it means for our lives and how we can apply it to us today. And every week, we've gotten these I am statements. And today, we're going to be in Romans chapter 12. And this chapter starts with the word, therefore. And growing up, my mom always told us when looking at scripture, you should ask yourself, what is the word therefore there for? Right? What is therefore there for? So here we can see therefore refers to basically all that Christ has done. Everything from him dying on the cross and to the idea that we have now of living righteously, living by faith, experiencing his spirit. And then Pastor Scott talked about last week, living on mission, right? It's all this idea. So here Paul says, therefore, because of all that, and he gives us this major assignment, he says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and your proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and his perfect will. I don't know about you, but I want to live in that, right? I want to be in God's will, his good, his pleasing, his perfect will. And the question is, you know, how do we do that? How do we kind of figure that out? And I think really it's by understanding our identity in him, our purpose in him. So we have this 10th statement is I am a worshiper. Now the world experienced a pretty massive scandal several years ago. It started several years ago, really. It never came to any sort of resolution, right? Many millions of people became frustrated. They decided to take matters into their own hands. They tried to do something about it. Many of them were willing to wait in line for hours on end, sacrificing what they needed to sacrifice to make this change happen. And the results were brutal. Again, things are mostly different now. But systems were crashing as people tried to participate. There was widespread fraud that's been exposed despite dedication by those involved. The results were less than what everyone expected, and it would even seem like there was dark money involved. The whole system needs to be reformed to be more safe, secure, and of course what I'm talking about are the pre-sales tickets for Taylor Swift's Eras Tour, right? What else did you think I was talking about? Nothing, right? Just that. Everyone knew it. No, but this concert tour by Taylor Swift, I remember my wife telling me about the madness as people were trying to get these tickets. I mean, it started over 2 years ago, but even now, they still go for an insane amount of money. People were waiting over 12 hours, and tickets have been selling for over $11,000. I think the average purchase price is around $2,000 a ticket per person. I checked a few days ago. This was on the website, and someone's trying to sell their ticket. I don't think it's going to sell, but they're listing it for $83,000. All for one seat at this one concert to see Taylor Swift. And listen, I'm not hating on Taylor Swift. It's not about her. It's nothing about that. But it's moments like this that we need to realize that there's something driving us to worship, right? There's something in us that we're created to worship. There's something that drives us to give that much focus, that much attention, that much money to something. And I think the reason is we are created to worship. Worship comes from the old English word, worth-scribe, which it became worth-ship, which means to ascribe or to give value to something, to give worth to something. And the question is today, not are you worshiping, are you giving value to something, but what are you giving value to? What are you worshiping? What is the object, the focus of your worship? Because we're all going to be worshiping something. There's something that in our life that we're going to worship. So what is it? You know, ladies, maybe, you know, you're scrolling on your phone and suddenly like an Instagram or Facebook ad pops up and it's for those shoes that you've always been wanting, right? That you've spotted those and suddenly they're on sale, right? And you're like, oh, man, how did they know that I wanted those shoes? Well, there's probably a reason, but we won't get into that. But you're like, oh, man, I gotta have it, right? I need to have that. And you can picture yourself with them. And you're like, ah, oh, if I wear it so many times, then it's worth the money, like the worth the wear. And, you know, but you're like, oh, well, we've been talking about it, and we're not supposed to be spending money right now, and we need to be on this budget. But you do some girl math, and, you know, you're making money if you make it. So you figure out a way, right? You can make a way. There's some sort of way that you can get to it. What is that? What drives us to do that? That's worship, right? You're ascribing, you're giving value to something. Or what would drive a guy to take off his shirt and paint his belly, in this case, his whole body, to celebrate a football team that has no idea who he is and he has no idea, no personal relationship? What drives us to do that? Or what would drive you to sit on your phone at every time of the day, you know, at work, in service, and you're just checking some irrelevant scores that, you know, aren't going to change no matter how many times you see it? What is that? That's worship, right? We are giving value to that instead of giving value to God. We're created to worship, but I want to take it a step further. We are created to worship God. All those desires, those cravings, those desires deep inside of us aren't for us to satisfy with whatever we want, but they're created to give that value, for us to give that value back to God. We're created to bring him worship. The Bible says this in 1 Peter chapter 2. It says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. So we're all of that. We're God's, you know, people, right? We're his peeps. Why did he save us? Why did he bring us out of that lifestyle? Why did he plant you where you're at in this church and your job? And he tells us right here that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. God didn't save you so you could just attend church. God didn't save you so you could put, you know, those fish stickers on the back of your car, or he didn't save you so you could wear a Christian t-shirt. He saved you so that you could declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into wonderful light, praising our Heavenly Father. We are created to worship God, right? So what does this mean for us, right? Should we walk around all day, you know, just singing our favorite worship songs, you know, holy, 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 you know, or just talking in the King James Version? Please don't do that. That's kind of weird if you're just all day just doing that. That's not what it's about, living a life of worship. Paul tells us what worship is, and I'm going to help you guys make it clear because it's right here in this passage in Romans. He makes it clear. He says, therefore, I urge you, in view of God's mercies, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And this is your true and your proper worship. So I'm going to kind of break it down. There's three things really in these two verses that we're going to focus on. But what is true worship? I think first, true worship is a response, right? It's in response to God's love. This verse you can see, it says, in view of God's mercy, right? We're not worshiping out of requirement. We're not worshiping out of, that's what we have to do. It should be out of response to God. When your relationship is just built off of a requirement, it's not fun. There's no joy. There's no excitement in that. But when it's in response to God's love, when it's in response to what he's done for you, that's where love is. That's where worship really is. You know, I think of my wife and I, Stephanie. We just celebrated 10 years together. We're married. I know, we're so young. But we've been married. We're kind of love experts now, right? We're in double digits, so that's where you're at a pro. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry, that was dumb. There are times in love and in relationships where you're kind of required to do some certain things, right? There's love requirements. Valentine's Day, you should probably give flowers or a card or chocolates, and your anniversary. The thing is, for us, and probably for most of us, that's not really that exciting, right? You're not really going to feel, woohoo, we got a card. It's just like, okay, here's your card. Oh, thanks. Here's your card. Oh, I love you. We're married forever. Praise the Lord. By the way, I would say don't skip those things, even though it might not seem like a big deal. If it is skipped, then it's probably going to, there's going to be something. And it's not usually going to be the guy that has a problem with it. Just saying. I've learned that. Don't ask how. Try to save money one year. Sorry. But the card, it's not that big of a deal, right? That's not where love is. Love is more in that, you know, you get a text message on a Tuesday morning and you're at work and it's like, hey, I'm just thinking of you. I love you, right? That's where relationships are. That's where love is. You know, Stephanie and I, for this year on Valentine's Day, we went to Hot Pot. Who's ever done Hot Pot? Do you know what it is? It's like you cook your own food in like this broth and they give you like meat and stuff. And it's super popular on like TikTok and Instagram. And Stephanie was like, we got to do it. And then we did it. And man, it was terrible. I'm like, that was the worst. But we had a great time because we were spending time together and just having conversation and you know, you just being with each other. That's where worship really happens. That's where relationships happen. It's out of response, not requirement. When we come to God and we're like, you know, it's like, you're like, oh, it's Sunday. I got to go to church. Okay, let's get it over with. Like, I'll do it, whatever. Or you get paid and you're like, oh man, I got paid. I got to give again. Great. That's the wrong attitude. The Bible says in 1 John that we love, we worship. Why? Because he first loved us. It's out of response. We can look and we see how great God is, how much he saved us from, and we're blown away by it. Yeah. Right? We get another glimpse of his infinite love. And all we can do is respond and say, you know, I'm going to worship him with my life. I'm going to give him my life because he has done so much for me. Scripture in Revelations, it talks about these creatures that are gathered around the throne of God. And they're saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. And they're doing this for eternity. They're just circled around the throne of God. Holy, holy. And you know, I used to think as a kid, I'm like, man, that sounds really boring. If I hear the same song and like in church, you know, where they do the bridge one too many times, I'm like, I'm done with that. Like, move along. But this, they're saying holy, holy, holy. That's all. Forever, for all eternity. I heard a theory that I kind of liked and it kind of gave me a new perspective on it. But it was this, that maybe these creatures, when they're gathered around the throne of God, maybe they're getting a new glimpse of how good God is or how big God is or how great he is. And because of that, they're responding and they're like, you know, you know, I thought I was done, but now I see, God, you're good in this way, and I can give you a little bit more of my time. I can give you a little more of my worship. I can give you a little more of my praise because you're worth it. And they keep doing that for eternity because that's how infinitely great and big and powerful God is. Worship is easy when it's in response to God's love. So if you're worshiping because your mama told you to, or your daddy told you to, or, you know, I grew up in church and that's just what we do, that's where it can become boring, it can become mundane and just this task that you got to do. If you're doing it out of tradition. But when you come into service, when I come into service like this, I know who I am without Christ. Now listen, I've personally never really wandered far from God. I've never strayed far away, but I have seen plenty of times glimpses of where I would be without him. I know the issues in my own life. I know how many times I mess up. And I can look at God, how good he's been. The miracles he's done for my life, for my family, the kids that he's given me, the blessings that he's provided, and I want to celebrate it. I want to give God my best. I want to worship him. Come on. We have to remember how good God has been. And when we're in those moments where we're like, you know, I'm not really feeling it. I just don't want to worship right now. Who cares? I'm sorry, who cares? Our worship is not dictated by our feelings or what we want, but it should be dictated by how good he is and how good he's been to us. No matter how you feel, remember, my worst day as a Christian is better than my best day without God, without Christ. I'm going to remember it. I'm going to celebrate it. And in view of God's mercy, I'm going to come and I'm going to worship and I'm going to give him my all. And that should change how you worship. That should change how you view this. That's how you have true worship. Let's keep going. In this verse, I urge you in view of God's mercies to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing God. True and proper worship, it's not only in response to his love, but number two, true worship is costly. He says your worship should be what? A living sacrifice. It's going to cost you something. It's going to get hard, right? And that's kind of why I don't really buy into the whole, well, I don't really like that song. You know what? Again, who cares? Yeah. It's not for you. You're not the object. You're not the focus of this worship song, right? If you don't like the song, you know what? Great, because how much bigger of an offering do you have to bring now that it's costing you a little something? I don't like the flow of that song. You know, push through, make it flow, do what you can, offer to God something that costs you something. We've gotten too comfortable in our American Christianity that it's all about us, when in reality, it's not. It shouldn't be about us. It should be about him. It's his glory. It's his honor. So we're going to offer God something that costs something. I love this scripture in 2 Samuel. The Bible tells us David, he ends up doing something that dishonors God and goes against what God said. And so there's this judgment that's going to come down and be poured out on Israel. And then God starts pouring out this plague, basically. I think over 70,000 people died because of it. And David, it's coming basically to Jerusalem. And, you know, as it's getting close, David starts pleading with God, like, you got to stop this. Like, it's going to kill us. It's going to wipe us out. Please, God, don't let this happen. And God says, okay, well, you need to offer a sacrifice. You know, that'll basically kind of cover this disobedience that you had. That'll, you know, pay for the price that needs to be paid. So David goes, okay, and he goes to the edge of where the plague stopped, where the angel of the Lord stopped the plague. He goes to where the plague stopped, and he goes to the guy, and he's like, hey, I need to buy your land. I'm going to build an altar here. I'm going to offer God a sacrifice. And, you know, the guy is like, well, you know, you're the king. I'll give you the land. You don't have to buy it. You don't worry about it. But I love right here, David's response, 2 Samuel 24:24. He goes, but the king replied to Arana, I don't know how to pronounce his name, but he goes, no, I insist on paying you for it. I will not sacrifice to the Lord my God burnt offerings that cost me nothing. Wow. I won't offer something that doesn't cost me something. He says, I'm going to go to the Lord, but I'm going to give something. I'm going to do something that maybe costs me, maybe gets me a little bit uncomfortable, pushes me out of that, you know, zone where I'm comfortable at. If that's where your worship is, you're like, you know what? I'm going to sing the song that I want to sing, when I want to sing it, how I want to sing it, for how long I want it. That's how I worship God. Well, I'm going to challenge you with something this morning. If it doesn't cost you something, it might not be real worship. How do we worship God? We worship God by three ways. We worship him with our time. Because giving God your time is a sacrifice, right? Time, I think, is our most valuable asset. So whatever you give your time to the most, that is what you're worshiping the most. Right? A lot of us, we give, you know, so much time to our job, and we give so much time to our family and friends, and we give so much time to social media. And those are all good things. And I'm not saying don't give any time to that. No, I would challenge you, though, how much time are you giving to God? How much time does the Lord get? And you're like, well, you know, I carve out 90 minutes on a Sunday morning, and, you know, that's my time to give to God. First off, we celebrate that. We really do, especially in this world where it's becoming more and more common to put church on the back burner. You saying, you know what, I'm going to worship. My worship's going to cost me something. I'm going to get out of bed early. I'm going to make the drive. Some of you have to drive a long way, and gas is not getting any cheaper. Or maybe it is, I don't know. But I'm going to sacrifice. I'm going to get up. We're gonna make this effort. You know, maybe my spouse and I, we're going to argue the whole way to church. Or maybe the kids aren't going to have matching socks. But I'm going to give God something that costs me something. Because church is a priority. And I want to give God this first part of my week. That is awesome. That is incredible. That is a great start. But that can't be it. That can't be the only time in your week that you give God something. He's worth more than that, right? That can't be the only time that you feed yourself spiritually is just coming to church on a Sunday. Here at Freedom Church, we are so grateful for those of you guys that volunteer. I want to just say that. We could not do it without everyone helping, either in upfront positions or kind of behind the scenes. And I know that a lot of all of our volunteers are not just looking for some sort of title, some sort of position, or like, you know, oh, I'm better than you. It's not about that. They're here honoring God with their time. I know Troy and Charlene, they come to the first service. They come early and they help get the coffee and the donuts and all that kind of set up for us. And Glorietta and Nick and Stephen Artis and Molly Hudson have come in during the week to clean. And I know if you ask them, you know, why do you do that? It's not like, oh, I've just always dreamed of cleaning those toilets. Like, that is the dream. It's not about that. Yeah, living the dream. No, it's living that David lifestyle, right? I'm going to give God something that costs something. I'm going to let it cost me something. I'm going to let my Christianity get me a little uncomfortable. And it's not that you're buying your way into salvation. You can't do that. We know that. That's not how it works. But when you get saved, you should move beyond that. Life should become more about sacrifice. It has to mark our life when we give our time to God. So I'm going to challenge you guys, if you're not part of our volunteer, if you volunteer for nothing, you're like, well, I come and then I go, and like, that's it. I would challenge you. You can email, call, text us. Randy will be more than willing to get you plugged in somewhere. There's something you could do, right, to give God your time. And you're like, well, you know what? It's my day off. Great. How much bigger of a sacrifice is that for God? Give something because God is worth it. But we don't just give him our time. We worship God with our talents. right? He's uniquely gifted you in some sort of way, some kind of purpose, some kind of talent that he's given you to be used for his glory, right? There's something that he has done in you that he's given you. And it can be either your superpower that God uses you for his glory, or you can use it for your own gain, your own worship, your own advancement. And you're going to use it one of those two ways. But know this, that God has gifted you in some way, and I would challenge you, figure out a way to use it for the glory of God. You know, that's why I love about our worship team. I love our worship team. I'm thankful for every one of them. You know, they could be out singing or playing music elsewhere or doing other things, right? Not coming in on a Sunday at 8 o'clock every week, sacrificing their time, using their talents. And it's not for fame. It's not for money. They're not getting paid to be up here. They're up here on stage and they're going, you know what? I'm going to use God. I'm going to give you my talents. I'm going to give you my best. Maybe it's not the best, but I'll give you my best and do what I can. And I'm going to honor you and I'm going to give you that. We honored and we prayed for the nursery and the toddler and the crazy kids and the youth leaders. And I want to say we are so grateful for all of you. The time, the sacrifice that it takes for our greeters that we have on Sunday mornings and the leaders and the security team, we're thankful. I'm going to use what I have. I'm going to do what I can for a greater purpose, for the glory of God. And you know what? Maybe you're thinking, well, I don't really have that many kind of talents. You know what? My talent, I make a lot of money. Well, that's my gift. And I'm like, if so, good news for you. If God has given you the gift of getting, he's probably giving you the gift of giving, right? He's not giving you so you can just build up your own wealth and build up your own little whatever castle. God put it in your hands so that you could use it for his glory and to build his kingdom. So don't just honor God with your words, honor him with your time, with your talent, and lastly, with your treasure. Money, I think, is the great revealer. People sit there and, you know, I've seen some people that are frustrated that they didn't win the lottery when it was $2 billion. I know Stephanie and I, we thought about like, oh, what would we spend that money on? Like, it's like dreaming. But then it's like, oh, you got to play to win. So we don't have a chance because I'm not spending that money. I'm not wasting my money. But no, I've heard a lot of people, you have all these kind of different dreams, but I know for a number of people, they're like, man, if I won that money, I would never work again. Like, I would tell my boss, see ya. Like, we're God. You know, I do all this stuff. You know, man, I would tell this person what I've always wanted to tell them. And you know what? That list is who you really are. Because money doesn't change us. Money reveals our issues in our own life. And here's another thing that I've realized. If you show me, you know, your bank account or your credit card, however you spend money, whatever you spend money on, you can see where your values lie, where your worship lies. Because where you spend your money shows what you're worshiping. And we're not against spending money on fun things, right? If you want to go on vacation, go on vacation. If you have the money for it, obviously. Don't like, I got a credit card. But go on vacation. If you want to buy a boat, buy a boat. Invite me and my family. My kids love boats. Like, we're never getting a boat, so invite us on that boat. But we'll have a great time, but the boat can't be your God. The boat can't get all of your attention. The boat can't get all of your money. The boat can't get all of your time. If you have extra, I'm all about that, but make sure that you're honoring God first, right? That you're giving in your tithe if you have above and beyond. There's missionaries on the back wall. Maybe we could support more, right? Figure out a way that you can build God's kingdom. And if you're doing all that and you still have extra and you're like, well, what do I do with it? I feel like God wants me to get a boat. Let's go get a boat, right? We'll be the first to ride it with you. Take us on the boat. We're really pushing that. I'm just kidding. No, but God can do great things. God will give you great things, but make sure that that boat's not your God. God, let God be your God. Honor him with your finances. Proverbs says, and Proverbs 3:9. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. In other words, if God has blessed you, make sure you give it back to him first. And that's why we teach tithing here. We believe that the first thing you should do is you should give back to God, right? You're saying, God, you deserve this 10% of what I have. You know, more and more, I think this concept is becoming foreign to people. You know, it's like, you know what? I don't understand how, I can't really do that. Like, that's for other people. You know, I got bills to pay. I got this and that. You know, the Bible says, test God in your tithe. This is the only place in scripture where he says that, right? Yeah. When you tithe, you're honoring God and you're saying, God, you know what? I'm going to give you this and I'm going to trust that you're going to provide with the rest. And believe me, God will bless you, and a lot of times that 90 will go further than the 100% would without his blessing. I know Stephanie and I, we have seen this in our own lives. There was a few times early on in our marriage where we didn't try to skip tithing. It wasn't like, oh, let's skip our tithe. It was just like, you know, we paid our bills, and it was like, oh, we got credit cards. Like, I don't want to give them extra money, so it's like, try and make all my payments. And then suddenly, we don't have enough money for our tithe. And it's like, oh, great. Like, how did that happen? And then, you know, we quickly tried to reevaluate, and we was like, oh, there's a couple areas of excess spending. Like, you know, maybe Timothy doesn't need Taco Bell three times a week. Like, you can stop. Stephanie doesn't need Starbucks. There were areas that we could cut back. So we did what we could. And we tried to cut back, and the next month, you know, we tried to make sure it's like, okay, we got to give to God first, and we gave our tithe. And then, funny enough, at the end of the month, we had cut maybe like $200, and then we had like $300 or $400 at the end of the month. We had excess beyond what we had cut because God, I think, blessed us and honored that. And listen, I'm not saying it'll always work out that way. Don't be like, well, okay, God, I'm just going to give you everything, and then you'll double it. That's not how that works. And here's the thing, if you give God the first 10% for the rest of your life and he never blesses you, he never increases, is he still worth it? Yeah. Is he worthy of it? Amen. He's worthy of our finances. He's worthy of sacrifice, all because of what he did on that cross for us. We should say, God, you know, if I do all this and even if you don't bless me, I'm going to be obedient because the salvation that you give me is enough. If you've never honored God through your giving, through your tithes, I just want to challenge you guys. Yeah, through the end of the year, try and be faithful in your tithe, right? We're mid-November. It's not a long challenge, 45 days or so, but start with that. And here's the thing. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. I'm not saying God will multiply your blessings. It'll be a sacrifice. It'll be tough. And I know it's tough. But do you think God is big enough to handle your finances and handle your need? I think Satan's biggest lie to us isn't that God's not good. We hear that so many times, God's good. And it's like, yeah, no, I believe that. I think his biggest lie is that God is not good enough. Is God good enough? You know, I think a lot of times we doubt, you know, it's like, I know God's good, but, you know, he doesn't, we struggle with faith in him being good enough and him being caring about us. You know, maybe my problem's too insignificant. God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. God, we want to worship you. We want to give you our worship, not out of requirement, but out of love, out of relationship. God, I want to give you my time, my talent, my treasure, and even if you don't do anything else for me, it's okay. Because you are enough. You're worthy of my worship, and I'll give even if it costs something. We're almost done. We'll finish up back in this verse. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and your proper worship. It says, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you'll be able to test and approve what God's good, perfect, and pleasing will is, right? So we know this is true worship. and don't conform to the world. Our worship, quickly go over them again. Our worship is in response. Our worship is costly. And lastly, it's a lifestyle. It's not just what you do in here that matters. It's what you do out there. It's not just what you say to God or how you speak to God, but how you speak to your spouse or your kids or your coworkers. It's not just how you show up on a Sunday, but how you show up on a Wednesday at your workplace. The Bible says, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Yeah. A lot of Christians today, I think there is too big a gap between how we act in here and how we act out there. Yeah. There's a Sunday you, and then there's a Friday night you or a Thursday at the workplace you. And it's drastically different. And you think, man, that Sunday me gives God praise and it's worship. But I want to challenge you. God deserves not just Sunday you, but Monday you and Tuesday you and Wednesday you and Friday night you. And that Friday night, what you do should worship and honor God just as much as what you do on a Sunday morning. Worshiping God isn't something you do, it's everything you do. Everything we do in our life should be as worship unto God, unto the Lord. So live in a way that says, God, I want to give you my worship. I don't want to worship you, God, just through a song, but through my lifestyle. I want to live a life that shows that I love you. Your job should bring worship to God. Your attitude should bring worship to God. Your excellence should bring worship to God. Your finances should bring worship to God. Your driving, well, actually, that one's fine. Skip it. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. Pastor Scott always talks about driving, so. You get the idea, though. What we do, everything we should do, should bring God worship because we do it as unto the Lord. You know, that's something I'm so glad that my parents taught me growing up, was that everything you do, do it as unto the Lord. You know, they're like, hey, if you're taking out that trash, it's for Jesus. If you're vacuuming that carpet, it's for Jesus. Do whatever you do, flipping burgers, doing someone's taxes, it doesn't matter. Do it as unto the Lord. And I kind of feel the need to address this because it's my generation that has popularized the idea of just do the bare minimum at work or quit when it gets tough if your boss is mean and you don't like them. But the thing is, who cares who your manager is? You're not working for them, right? You're working for God. Like, well, they don't treat me right. And you know what? I'm going to just give them the effort that they're praying for. You know, because that you're going to miss out. You're going to miss it. Because you've believed the lie that your boss or whoever is the one that's going to promote you, when really it's God who's going to be the one that promotes you, right? I don't care if they're a bad boss. I don't care if they're underpaying. I mean, we do care, but that's not the point. The point is what you do, do your best. Give it your best. Give it your all. You serve with all your might, because you're not working for earthly masters. You're working for the King of Kings, for the Lord of Lords, the one who's worth our best worship, the one who we should give our best performance to, our best excellence in everything we do. And I'm going to end with this verse right here. It says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a what? A sacrifice of praise. The fruit of lips that openly profess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. How is he pleased? He's pleased when we're living out his commands. When we love one another. When we worship him with our life. When we live that life of just surrender to him, right? So I'm going to challenge you guys. Let's go ahead and stand up. We're going to just take just a couple minutes. Tim, can you kill the backlights? Just a couple minutes and worship God. If you have to go, then you can go. But I want to challenge you. This isn't like an exit song that just walk out on. Take a couple minutes and give God some of your worship, because he's worth it. Yeah. He's worthy of our worship. So God, we lift up, we worship you, God. We want to give you our best, Lord. I thank you, God, that despite my failures, God, that you still love me. God, that you've called me, that you use me. You are holy, Jesus.
Worthy is the Lamb. 'Cause you are worthy of it all.
Come on, one last time, sing it this morning.
You are worthy of it all. From you are all things. For from you are all things. And to you are all things. You deserve.
You deserve our glory, God. You deserve our worship. So this morning, God, we want to just give you our best. Lord, we want to worship you with everything we have, God, that with our time, with our talent, our treasure, Lord, that we wouldn't hold anything back from you, God, that we would live this life of sacrifice, God, that we are willing to put whatever we need to on the line. God, that we would be just worshipers of you. Lord, you're worth it. You're worth more. God, and I pray that you would just help us realize areas in our life, God, if they've gotten in the way, if we've allowed things to creep up and distract us, Lord, that we would be willing to cast those aside, to put them aside if they're distracting us, if they're turning our eyes away from you. Lord, we worship you, and I pray that you would help us just live that life of worship. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, guys.